Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you again so much for taking the time to come and join with me. I very much appreciate it. I hope that you are as blessed by receiving these as I find blessing in researching them and putting them together for these short messages. Today we are going to continue on our series, Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6. We're up to verse 24. I might just read it, and then we'll come back and look at some commentary. Verse 24, I'm reading from the New King James, as always. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, from the outside, I just want to clear the ground on one thing. You cannot serve both God and mammon. This is, as I said, the New King James Version. It will say different things depending on the version which you are looking at. But I've heard from time to time over the years a teaching which is incorrect. It's false. And in case you've come across it, I just want to clear the water quickly. God and mammon. And the teaching I'm referring to, which I've heard both from the platform and also on video, is that mammon refers to some ancient deity or God, little lowercase g. I have searched through scriptures, I have searched through historical documents, and I have found no reference to this at all, other than the people who say it. So someone in the church has decided this, felt this, I think this is what it means, and then started teaching this, and it's trickled down from there. Mammon is an Aramaic word. It simply means wealth or property. That's its most common uses. So we are going to look at this scripture today for what it actually is, not what we want it to be, not to push an agenda of any kind. You cannot serve both God and wealth, property, for example, money, mammon, which is, it is the most common usage of it. But I do want to clear that in case you'd come across that false teaching at some point. So when we look at this, we begin with a question, and it's a question for you. And we might even come back to this question as well after this message. The question is, who do you serve? And I pause there. That's a question I want you to actually give thought to. Who do you serve? Because this is not just about our actions. It's about our deepest heartfelt affections. It's about our allegiances, if you would say. If given the choice, who would we choose? It's about our heart's attitude. Are you seeing that now, that pattern throughout Scripture here as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, our heart's desires and attitude? I think what we see here is a very clear instruction from our Lord on understanding that dual service, God versus things of the world, it is impossible. We're seeing the exclusive nature, if you would, of true devotion. It is devoted in that regard. And so Jesus here presents a scenario which is either or, either this or that. It's not both of them. It's not this and that. It's either or. That is the nature of true devotion. Makes me think of James chapter 4, where James writes and talks about friendship with the world being that enmity of God, against God, enemy of God, friendship with things of the world. And there are, you will see in Scripture time and time again, consequences of divided loyalties. And that's the heart of what we're talking about today, having divided loyalties. Serving two masters results in internal conflict, instability. And I'm going to use I don't know if it's the best example here, but as a teenage boy, I wasn't in the Lord. And in that time, as some teenage boys do, trying to use the phrase, play the field, you'll have two girlfriends. And there were a couple of times where I did have that. Divided loyalties, it doesn't work. I mean, that is a model, goodness me, for a Christian boy growing up. Absolutely doesn't work. It's one of those reasons, just one of hundreds why we are told not to divide such loyalties, particularly through marriage. Men, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't work. But I want to give you a story now from Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah. Elijah confronts the people, the Israelites, because they are suffering from this exact problem, divided loyalties. They have grown up and they've heard the stories of their fathers before them. And they know the stories of their God, the God of the Bible, the Hebrew God. And yet, because they are not seeing in their lives and in their world at this time, their faith wanes, and then they are lured away by Ahab and Jezebel to worship Baal and others. And Elijah confronts them. We see in 1 Kings 18 the crescendo of this story. Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal. But he says to the people on the outset, I'm going to read this. 1 Kings 18, 21. Elijah went before the people and said, How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. So we see here Elijah's challenge to the people. This is the challenge I want you to consider honestly, earnestly in your heart today about divided loyalties, the things of this world and the things of God. Elijah says, how long will you waver between these two opinions? And he's challenging their indecision, because it means to be divided. It means to not commit, to be uncommitted. He sees their divided loyalties. It's detrimental without question, unstable, and it's unfaithful at the same time. He says, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. So he presents them a clear choice. I give you that choice today also. This is not just a call for decision, but a demand for exclusive allegiance. We hear it, I'm here in Australia as I record this, and we hear it in the American movies. We pledge allegiance to the flag. Folks, you better pledge allegiance to God, your God, the God of the Bible. The God whose Son died for you, who came in human form, and he walked that perfect life, and then became a sacrifice for our sins in our place, taking our place on that cross. This is why we pledge allegiance to him, because through him we find forgiveness of sins that could not be found any other possible way. And praise God, eternal life through being born again, that regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. This is why I pledge my allegiance now to my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Prophet, everything that the Old Testament said he would be, and then more. Elijah was asking to make a commitment between which God they were going to follow, but they said nothing. And that silence, it says so much. It speaks of their indecision. Maybe it speaks of fear or hesitation and not understanding. Maybe it was that they felt powerless. All of the prophets of Baal versus Elijah. It clearly showed, however, no faith. If you don't know the rest of that story, you should go and read it. It's good. But we see here the two masters, God or Mammon, things of the world. And for us, where are we now? Yeah, this is almost 2,000 years ago that this happened. And it's more relevant to us now than ever before, that we must choose in this world between God and things of the world. Money, for example, especially if you live in the Western world as we do, how blessed are we? Well, God offers something that money cannot. God offers eternal peace, eternal joy. God offers fulfillment. Money, mammon, property, wealth, whatever, promises false security and fleeting possessions, fleeting pleasure. You cannot take it with you. In fact, even while you're here, you're very likely to lose it. And I couldn't count. I suppose if I tried, I might, but I have known many a millionaire over the years. I've seen them come and I've seen them go, and then they come again and they go again. And it's just like, there is a saying in business, which is true. Once you know how to make $1 million, no matter what happens in life, you can go and make another million. It's true. I know this for a fact. It's based on that philosophy. Do not give a man a fish, rather teach them to fish. Well, folks, I want to teach you how to fish here today by putting God first, that you might become fishers of men for eternal reward, not just passing pleasure. Luke 12:15 says that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And you'll know this one, though not from this verse. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Moses spoke these words when the people were complaining about the manna from heaven. Jesus also spoke those words, speaking against the devil who tried to twist scripture. "We shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So what we must choose is, which master are we going to serve? Are we going to choose God, or are we going to choose things of the world? Now, that is, I think, probably best explained or expressed physically, not just from our heart's attitude, but in the outward form by our time. Where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our resources? Where do we spend our efforts? Where do we spend our energy? Is it towards things of the world or things of God? And everything that we do in life, every choice that we make, reflects our inner choice. So my call to you is this, simply this. One, to spend some time to do as David did in prayer and meditation. "Lord, create in me a clean heart." To ask, "If there is anything, Lord, within me that is not of seeking you, show me, reveal this to me, that I may repent of it and turn back to you." Genuine, true repentance. So evaluate your priorities. Spend more time in the Word. Spend more time studying Scripture. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12. It is impossible to serve both. You cannot have one foot in this camp and another foot in that one. It's just not possible. So I need you to evaluate, to challenge, to examine your own heart with genuine, truthful, brutal honesty if you must. Might just leave it there, I think. I'm going to just leave this with a closing prayer, because I know that this is a hard one. I struggled with this for so long. I know that this is a hard one. But Father, I pray that you would just take this message into the hearts of those who hear it, Lord, and reveal to them, as you do always to us, reveal to them, Lord, your true heart, your true intent, and theirs. And as they measure theirs with you, Lord, that they choose to follow you openly, honestly, without fear, but with faith. And Lord, I commit this to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. There is so much we could say on this one. I've got a few other scriptural references here. We'll leave them for another time. I might just include them here on the YouTube description. But folks, thank you so much for joining with me. This is a difficult thing for us to do in this world, that we should truly trust God and not things of the world for our provision, for our prosperity, for our being everything. God, Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you too also for joining with me. God bless.